The Protect Your Neck Podcast, UFC 227 After Party Edition. We've been drinking, and you've been warned.
Hot air hangs like a dead man from a white oak tree. People sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night. It's a dark night. Dark.
Savages, this is the Protect Your Neck Podcast, and I am your host, Dan Tom. Analyst's work you can find at MMAJunkie.com, 5 days a week at MMA Junkie Radio. But on this year podcast, we break down high-level MMA, or on the rare occasion, it's been a while. Yes, it's been a while, but we'll have the after-party edition. That's right. It is after the fights have come to a conclusion, perhaps. There are some inebriations and alcohol involved, right? Some familiar characters, maybe some new characters tonight that I'll introduce here to you here shortly. But we won't abuse your ears to some of the early episodes to some of you longtime listeners. Thank you for staying with us, by the way. I know it's been rough, but it's been a crazy card. So we're definitely gonna break that down. But there will definitely be some few notes off the top before that, though. Got to introduce. Let's start with the most familiar person, most akin to these after-party editions, as I proclaimed to. I wasn't able to quite keep him in line because I wasn't able to quite keep myself in line, as you noticed the couple of stammers that I tried to subtly disguise in my intro. We have Brian Schoonover. Brian, what's up, man?
Cheers. What's up?
Brian, your Twitter handle, because I'm...
B-R...
Thank you.
F-O-U-R... T-E-E... NN at I almost gave you my email address.
Yeah, don't fucking do that. Especially with your takes. I gotta before Brian says any more, let me just apologize ahead of time from a man, which is funny because if you know us personally, and know our track record, it should be him usually apologizing for me ahead of time, which is the ironic part of that. Yes, another B, it'll make it easy, but a new B, Bronson darling, Bronson, what's up, man?
How you doing? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. No MMA expert, but I like to watch people get punched in the face, so I'm with you guys.
He's been hanging out with us for quite some time, and even though he's admittedly a casual, he's a respectable casual. He was casual for some time, and he'll be a good addition here, so don't you worry. I guess just a couple notes off the top. We're not going to try to keep you too long, especially because, we've been drinking and you've been warned, as you heard in the intro, that I've yet to record. But, as per usual for these, we'll be attached to the front of this episode. We'll go through things from bottom to top. But, yeah, I wasn't able to get a breakdown this week, which I guess if you've been following the podcast lately, which, again, I guess a double thank you. I was thanking the people who, follow me from the beginning, but really, I should be thanking just everybody because it's been lately, guys, I've been pretty inconsistent in my podcast. People listening to this know, but I'm just letting my friends know because they haven't really known. I mean, you guys can attest, your friends of mine. You know how busy Dan Tom keeps his schedule. It's been a little extra crazy with the health issues.
It's a sadomasochistic relationship that you have with your job. It's intense.
Thanks for saying that. It's hear from somebody else. I'm not just playing a violin and dropping. Like not a violin, by the way. The fucking best job in the world. But as far as the craziestness. I'll sometimes allow myself to get to. But that's, like I said, August is the month that's going to change. So we're cracking at the tables to work to restructure that. I can't give you definitive answers yet. We were on the cusp, but kind of rounding out to why it's been a kind of crazy week. The reason why I can't give you a definitive answer as to why I'm on the cusp of my contract. Everything's looking good, by the way. I love where I'm at. Everything's fine. Nothing to worry. We're here to give you the best content and try to keep giving you great content there at MMAJunkie.com. But as you know, especially if you listen to, shout out to at the MMA Roadshow, fine podcast, and of course the podcast that I've been a part of, but not later this week because, I had a medical procedure, which I'll get to here in a second, and I'll let you guys weigh in on this too in a second here. But let me just get this out of the way real quick. But yeah, for those who haven't heard, Dan Stepp, our editor-in-chief, the guy who created Image Junkie, the place that I work for, the name tag that I put on my proverbial shirt, we'll just say, parted ways. And we'll just say parted ways because honestly, that's all I can say. Not just because that's all I can say, because that's all I honestly know. And that is a truth. That was not something you just heard in other podcasts. That's something you're going to hear here too, because it's the truth. But again, another something you've heard on the podcast, which is again the truth, is that Dan is loved and still friends, and still thought dearly of everybody on board with MMA Junkie. So it wasn't anything malicious or anything by those means. These things tend to happen. We've seen, you know, without even knowing the details, we've seen these things kind of happen before. These kind of narratives of. You know, as crazy as they seem, you know, the person who created something. But, you know, people move on from things, from phases of life. And that, when you think about that, that's not crazy. So I'm sure Dan will be great. I'm sure we'll hear from him. I know I will be keeping contact with him and wishing him the best. I don't want to say too much more of that. But just so people know, just so I'm acknowledging it, and not that it's like a pain in the nausea by any means, because again, Dan is somebody who I'll always give credit for where I am today, and love and respect him for that. But again, people gotta move on, man. The best of the best move on, right? No matter if it's music or movies or things like that. So these things happen. So there was that this week. As long as I had a medical procedure, and not it's funny. I want to like spare people the details, but as you know. On this podcast, I don't spare very many
Wait,
details.
Wait, Dan, you're talking about your dick enlargement, right?
Yeah, I added 3 inches, and you know what's funny about you said that because John Morgan, shout out to John Morgan, writer on MMA Junkie, in case you guys didn't know, the company that I'm with, we were on the company inner email, and I'm like, hey guys, I'm gonna, just letting them know, your work now, hey, I'm getting a medical thing done.
And I
didn't want to gross them out. By the way, I had a colonoscopy and endoscopy. So pretty much...
By the way...
Yeah. I got entered from both ways. Old Dan Town got
By
treated
the
like
way, a, I got DP'd.
Yeah. I got treated like a fucking Chinese finger trap. Without telling my work that. But Bronson was so apropos to bring it up. I tell him, like, I'm like, okay, let me like be proper. Like, we had a procedure. Fucking John Morgan. Shouts to John. Was like... Can't wait to hear what you do with the extra 3 inches, Dan. That's the reply.
God, I wish my work emails were like that. Fuck.
Yeah.
My life would be so much better. That's my humor right there.
Again, as much as it was maybe, a somber week for MMA Junkie with the aforementioned news, there's plenty of plus sides, like Brian just said. And, thank you for promising.
Hey, very welcome.
I'm grateful for that
3 inches. No, but really, though, so how'd the sex change go?
It's funny you said that because, like, I kept that in mind because Dan Dunn has a sick sense of humor, so I was waiting for some type of regime change, and sure enough, to like, wait here, the anesthesiologist will be here. And by the time Dan Tom was already stripped to his bare bones and naked under his garb and with the hairnet.
Was this before or after the 3 inches?
This is before the 3 inches, gotcha. And I'm sitting in there, and it's funny, and like, they ask you questions in a doctor thing, like, almost like a security thing, like, they know the answer, but they just have to make sure that they have the paper in front of them, like, what are you here for? What's your name, right?
Yeah, gotta get consent.
Just verifying that you're even a smart person.
Exactly, so the anesthesiologist comes up, and she's like, what are we doing today? And I just immediately, without response, and just straight face, just go, sexual reassignment.
Nope.
And it's fucking, and the poor lady, she's
like, a girl?
Young, innocent girl, so she was very taken, like, I'm kidding, yes.
And with a mustache like you got right now, that's creepy as fuck, I love it.
I almost said, no, I'm just kidding, I'm here for the butt stuff, but I said,
it was inappropriate. They're just like, whoa, with me,
that would have been more truthful. Jesus Christ, Dan, come on, you're being recorded. Jesus, I told you guys it's the after party.
You told me to be, like, conservative, and look at you.
Can you imagine people on the other side of the microphone? I just was tuning in for breakdowns. I didn't want to hear about it as much.
What the hell? He said colonoscopy.
Yeah, I won't give you guys the details. Relax. You don't have to tune out now. We're gonna brush by this pass. But you guys ever had any experience with this stuff, by the way?
Can't say I've ever had anything.
Just you, Dan.
Well, you're not supposed to. Like, even me, like, I'm going to turn 33 next week, right? And, like, you're not, until you're, like, 40, you're not supposed to get, like, the fingers up your butt or whatever. What is it called? What's it called for the cancer or the...
It's called fingers.
It's called Saturday night.
Two in the pink on the sink is all I've heard.
But yeah, by the way, shout out to Silverback. It's funny. You know what's bad, by the way? Because Silverback is the military trip that I did about this time last year with Junkies, one of my first assignments with them. And I went over to do a military trip for, kind of morale and whatnot. And I met one of my show host friends I met when they went over to Afghanistan, Bronson. And this guy, Silverback, was kind of his code name. He's a special force. He's pretty much a badass.
Nice.
He's
shout out Silverback.
Yeah. He's like killed more people than UFC cards, probably. Let's just put it that way. So I'm like, dude. I'm not going to say his real name because I'm saying this stuff. And by the way, of course, respect. I love this guy. Of course, I love this dude. We're good friends. Yeah, fuck yeah, he did. Absolutely. He did in many countries and many times, by the way. And it's to the point where, by the way, just to put an age preference, this guy's about, I don't want to say too old because he's going to kick my ass if I say too old. We'll say he's in his 40s, healthy, poor. I would expect him to have dealt with this. So I'm like, dude, yeah.
A literal silverback.
Yeah, so he's calling me like the day before. There's this whole prep thing, right? So I had to, by the way, so if you're wondering why I was gone from MMA Junkie Radio, I gotta explain this anyways.
You were hanging out with Silverback? This is good.
No, well, before the colonoscopy, they make you they drink this whole solution that tastes like fucking beach water, and it gives you diarrhea, so I'll just leave
like
it at that.
Beach water?
I'm not even kidding,
you just shit everywhere?
It's 4 liters, Montezuma's and you have to at least...
So my real question is, like, how quickly after...
Yeah. I was. It took me about 2 hours, but about the
2 hours with your stomach.
Well, because you know what the problem was is old Dan Tom already has a healthy cycle because I have the damn kale shakes with, as Rogan says, turns your shits into the zombies from World War Z.
It's honestly instant.
Yeah,
me with kale shakes.
Yeah. Beating at the door.
And let's just say I fasted about this is a mistake. I overshot like the weight cut. I fasted. I fasted 10 to 14 hours more than I needed to.
Right.
Oh, which is like fasting alone is fucking miserable.
Story of your fucking life.
Yeah, so there wasn't much to give. So I overshot it, and then I drank too much anyways. And I'm like talking to Silverback. I'm like, dude, I might have to get off the phone with you soon, right? Like I'm gonna fucking go.
I'm about to
run out of your
energy. But I'm like, you know what? If this guy, a guy who's fucking, just fucking been to the literal trenches, right, in all parts of the world, and plus he's an older dude, like for multiple reasons, this guy's probably been through this situation and many others. I'm like, tell me you've been through this, right? He's like, fuck no, dude. I would never let a doctor do that shit. And I'm just like,
kill men, women, children, but no man's putting his finger up my ass.
Oh, God. I don't know about that, but I'll close with this, guys, by the way. It's just, first of all, it's bad when you're looking for comfort, and when, like, the most badass person you know is like, fuck that. You're like, oh, dude, the most badass person you know is just fuck that. That's not a good comforting sign. Second of all, let's just say I went through this podcast before. You can go back. I won't torture you with it. My terrible anesthesia with going through surgery earlier this year, how like it was like the fucking scenery in Saw because they didn't put me out before I got to the operating room.
Yeah, so you asked for it early this
time. So I told Brian this. I didn't tell you this, Bronson, right? Yeah. So I told him, like, hey, guys, I had this really bad experience with my surgery. They fucking didn't put me out in time. Let's just say, feel free to put me out as early as you want because I really don't want to fucking see what's behind the fucking wizard's door, right?
Is that when the finger started?
Just wait, it gets better. They don't put me out before I go behind the wizard's door. And like the guy talking to me is like this Asian dude from Hawaii. And he's like, he actually knows MMA. And I'm kind of nervous, so I'm like kind of half in the conversation, so I'm only half excited. Then he knows MMA. He's like, yeah, man, I used to follow back in the GSP and BJ Penn days, but I kind of fell out.
I used to train UFC, bro.
Well, no, he wasn't like that at all, but it's a legitimate argument. He was a more dude to like the old, I know, we're actually going to talk MMA for a second here.
Oh, here we go.
I know, it's an MMA podcast. It's crazy. He was something that I preach on the MMA Junkie Radio Show all the time, oversaturation, too many shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I actually really side with you, bro, but I'm fucking nervous as shit.
But you're about to go in there. Both ends, yeah.
So here's how by the way, back to the Chinese region. Here's how they put you out, right? Here's the three things they say to you. Tell me the comfort that you hear in these things. Turn to your side, which, by the way, you're in that like weird like thing where you're naked, your butt's exposed if you turn over, which is the point. Turn to your side to expose your ass. Open your mouth and bite down on this, which was a plastic thing. Which is a plastic thing where you see there's like an inserted hole because, again, endoscopy for people that aren't following, they go through your throat and they're taking samples of old Dan Tom's intestines through my throat and through the other side, which we'll just leave at that. So I'm like, oh, great, that's what I... So I can't even like retort, like at least before I got the room to laugh, like a comedian before I went to surgery, before I went out, I didn't have that luxury because they said, Dan, turn over to expose your ass. Bite down on this, and then they said, this is great. Now you're going to sleep.
It's like Francis Ngannou, dude. He's looking at you, and he goes,
tomorrow night, you go to sleep.
Oh my God!
Imagine, Francis Gatto is your fucking doctor.
It might have well been.
Roll over, bite on this.
Now you go to sleep.
Old school Rogan podcast reference. Because this was what it feels like. What Rogan would go, because before Ngannou came along, it was Chet Congo, right? Rogan would go.
Chet Congo was the original Ngannou. Oh, totally.
Just fast. So again, we've talked about this at Najma's podcast. Just go back and Google Chet Congo weigh in with Rogan, and you will see his eyes light up like a kid on Christmas Day.
It's like he's insane. On the red light district in Amsterdam, just like, ooh!
But Rogan talked about this prison episode where, like if you had Chet Congo as your roommate, it might have well been like, it felt like the protocol for prison penetration. We'll call it that. and sure enough, Dan Tom.
For prison penetration.
Sure enough, Dan Tom went out. It's all knock on wood for Dan Tom right now as you're listening. Is that terrible? They share that terrible story. If he didn't already tune out, we're going to get to, by the way, we are going to get to UFC 227, believe it or not. But it was miserable, guys. So that's what you have to look forward to.
Incredible.
When you're older. How's that?
I can't wait. The coming year sounds fun.
The standards was at 40 for that? It's like the first time you got to get prodded like that?
It should be, but I think I got to. You know, it's funny because it's a blessing in disguise because it's like what I did was it sucked because I had to do the whole prep. But A, I got more information from it, and B, my ego kind of like suffered less, right? Because it's like, what would you guys do? Hypothetical. Would you either have the finger in the ass? It's less prep you just go in, but your ego suffers because you're awake and you're having a dude finger your ass. Or do you just have the whole prep, shit the whole day, so you can get passed out and then say, do what you want, I'm passed out.
What you want.
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby. Like that.
Fuck that, dude. How about this? When I first got in there, this guy, he looks like a young Mauro Ranallo, the first guy I deal with.
Oh,
the first
that's
nurse,
why you said it, because they're like, oh, Mauro Ranallo, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, Jesus. No, he comes in, he looks like a young Mauro Ranallo, he goes, oh, so we're going in. And he does, by the way, this is hard as audio, guys, but he does the pointed finger thing to where he's pointing both his fingers toward each other, and he goes, oh, so we're going in both sides today? Oh. He doesn't even give me his name. Like, that's his intro line.
It's only common courtesy.
It's because it was really Mauro Ranallo.
Jesus. All right, this is 18 minutes, guys. We're talking about fucking ass stuff.
We've talked about Dan's ass for 18 minutes.
This is Protect Your Ass podcast, guys. Your host, Dan Tom, today.
Protect Your Ass podcast.
Jesus. We did see a fight card today, guys.
It happened. Yeah. There was a couple fights.
Well, what did you guys think? We've got the seasoned casual and the jaded veteran who will probably say inappropriate stuff in Brian.
What? So what's the question?
What did you guys think of the card?
Like, should I rate this? Should I rate this on a 10 scale? Star scale?
Rate with a T.
One to ass.
Rate with a T. Yes, that was a T, Dan. That was a T. So I should rate this 1 to 10. I was kind of drinking a lot. Yes. Watching a little.
We were a bit. I was actually responsibly drinking, but being too responsible in other ways, I was spotty on this car, guys. So forewarning, that's why I brought the crew on to help me fill in the blanks.
I mean, I watched a lot of the early card. It was good. Overall, I'd say the two co-main and main event were great. I can't say anything bad about either of those fights. They turned out to be better than I expected. So I'd say it's a solid card. I'd probably give it a solid 8.
I agree.
Wasn't a lot of boring fights.
Bronson, I know you didn't get to the main card, so we'll definitely get your opinion for there. But before we just blow through the preliminary card real quick, do you just want to like share if you want to give a rough grade? Do you think?
No, definitely, yeah. So I'll also give an 8 and play conservative, but okay. It was definitely entertaining. The whole main card for pay-per-view, you know, they earned the money.
Totes.
Everyone was doing their thing. You know, it's fun to watch.
Totally.
I definitely don't, you know, and again, we all shelled out for this one. I don't feel bad either. I won't give it an A+. I won't give it an A-. I'll just give it an even A. And I will say the reason why A, though, is because a lot of it was my expectation. I had a low expectation. So there is that caveat. Take that as you will. But I give it an A, and you can't deny that. That's still a strong grade.
I love that we all gave a different rating scale.
Yeah, you gave it a 90%.
An 8 out of 10. You gave it what? And then you gave it?
Just a solid A, so probably 9 out of 10. So yeah, I would guess that would qualify different, right?
Gotcha. No, I know. We're just talking different scales a little bit.
Brian, do you want to help me blow through the prelim? That way we can all jump into the main?
Damn.
I was, as per usual, is it? Oh, man. again, part of the whole thing, I'm not going to go on my soapbox, but literally, trust me, guys, if I'm not getting operated and put under or staying pulling an all-nighter, like, I apologize for being late. There's no excuses, and it really bums me out, not just for you guys, first and foremost, but for me, because I genuinely, as much as it's crazy and as burnout as, let's be honest, it's a little easy to tell that it's easy to get burnout in this climate. Old Dan Tom, who hasn't missed a card since 2015, I think I missed two cards since mid 2015, almost 3 years here. Oh, 3 years actually. I think I got an excuse to feel that way, but still. That aside, it's honestly my biggest joy. So again, there's no violin playing here. I love it. It's just wishing I kind of had more time. Sorry, I'm tangenting here. But boy, where the fuck was I going with that, guys?
You tell me, Dan.
Yeah. No. As much as I tangent, I really do enjoy it. So I apologize. Let's just. Oh yeah, what I was saying. Sorry. But yeah, I assure you, it's just been kind of a crazy schedule, especially with the contender series and everything like that. I'm gonna reformat my schedule. I'll probably recap here, not to get any more sidetracked. I'll recap it at the end of the episode here. I'll tease that information. I can't confirm it too much though, so forgive me. But yeah, I was essentially working up to the beginning of the card, working some last minute errands. So I'm a little spotty. Sorry, long winded answer. But first fight. Marlon Vera versus Uluchi Buran.
Say that again.
Uluchi Buran. I had to show off my Chinese speaking skills there.
Mandarin.
I had no Mandarin. Did you watch this fight?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was a really good fight. Guy was really tough. Buran.
Were you a little worried for Vera, considering that he was a heavy favorite? Like, minus 45, I believe he closed that.
Vera was the favorite?
Yeah, he closed it about 4 or 5 to 1.
I thought he was the worthy favorite.
He should have been, yes.
Especially after watching the fight. I mean, now that we're talking about it, I guess I can spoil it. But he looked great. I mean, he looked really good. There was no moment where I was really worried for him in the fight. Maybe beforehand, but nothing during the fight.
Yeah, I bet you it's one of those fights where I'm going to be less worried when I watch back. But I guess I say that because there were moments where I guess he kind of like stayed on his back. And then if you watch some of his other fights, whether he's staying on his back or just kind of circling on the outside, Vera's been a little, like, kind of reluctant to change those gears and kind of string things together. Like, he's always had the raw skills, and those have gotten better. And his connecting pieces have gotten better, but Vera, man, I think tonight's a proof that if he can start stringing his, like, getting a process to it together, you know, not just being able to do things when they appear, whether it's submission or strike, watch out. But it's just a process, right? But yeah,
but he's one of those guys we were talking about. It's like Max Holloway, where he's evolving within the fire, you know. He's been tossed into the toughest divisions and at the top or the top level, but yep. He's not as experienced as most of the guys he's fighting.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, I was catching up on some of the Junkie Radio episodes, and I'm glad Goz was repping it, because it's something that I know I really tried to beat the drum on, that we talk about on every Junkie Radio, is we really rev the bantamweight division on that show. It's one of the more underrated divisions.
Oh, 100%.
And I think this card was a really good...
Especially now.
Well, this card, look, it had one, two, three, four, shit, five, six. That was a flyweight. Seven. Wow, I think six or seven bantamweight fights on this card, guys.
That's crazy, yeah.
135, not
typically. And the top division. One, the main event.
Of course, yeah. Well, definitely we'll be getting to those, but yeah. So it was a great showing for that. Not much to say on Taylor and Zhang, Brian. Didn't much to say on that fight.
I watched it.
great contribution. Yes.
Taylor reminds me.
I know, it was really lovely.
I watched it.
It reminds me of, you know, like a heavyweight that's got the one right hand. And Taylor just came
that's
at
so
her
weird, right.
The jab, really telegraphed overhand right, and I think it really cost her. So
same thing.
Yeah,
it's her story.
Zhang looked beast. She ate a couple solid punches, and she came pretty strong. I think she's got a lot of, potential.
Yeah, those Chinese girls are legit, and it's that wushu striking. You know, it's kind of hit or miss with the guys because, you know, again, not hating on the females, but the guys are a little more involved, right? Whereas the females, if you're athletic, if you're durable, you go forward, you win a lot of fights.
Yeah.
Furthermore, if you have a martial art, even if it's not like a like if you look at the wushu, like okay, like guys who do wushu, by the way, are like a lot of Eastern European guys, like that guy who fought Derek Lewis, Shamil Durakimov. Those are like a more wushu based guy where it's like they'll have cool spin kicks and like yeah, they'll have transitions where they'll go punch to kick to takedown, but they don't have really a ground game once they get to the ground because yeah. that's not what their sport facilitates. And it's not like they're throwing jabs, straight shots. They're not exactly shifting like a TJ Dillashaw taking an angle. It's more like a wild combination. So they don't do good against a kickboxer or a Muay Thai guy. But again, now you go to the and again, this isn't hating on females by any means. The female, but again, you go to kind of where they're at right now. And now you take a girl like that or the Xiao Nan where they're... came up in the wushu system, and it might not be as strong of a system compared to Muay Thai, but we're not comparing it to she's not facing like a Maheta Santos, right? You know what I'm saying? Like she's facing a I don't want to say JJ Aldridge because we'll get to her. She looked great. She won. She was a live dog, and props to her. We'll get to her in the main card. But you know what I'm saying? She doesn't. You know what I'm saying? The female it still has a lot to go as far as athleticism. So,
oh, yeah. Totally.
So you see these girls, if they have that base and they just came up fucking dogfighting like these Chinese chicks.
But she looked great.
Yeah, those Chinese chicks.
Really good.
Yeah, they ain't fucking spending their time trying to be Kim Kardashian over there.
No way.
There's no. I remember I went to. It was my second. We were celebrating. I just got my black. We didn't even get a belt because there was no belts in kung fu. Which is, I was gonna ask Kevin Holland about because he's a black belt in kung fu, but there's no belts in kung fu. Like I did Chinese kempo, but we had an affiliation with Shaolin Temple, so we had to do my black belt test at the Shaolin Temple. So my second trip to China, I go there. I get the test. Anyway, we celebrate. We celebrate once we finally get to Beijing, which is like Western civilization, right? So there's actually McDonald's, KFC, which I still think stands for fucking Canton life. Fried Cat. But there was a Hard Rock there, right? And I was just like, oh sweet, there's a Hard Rock Cafe, right? And I can eat American food. And there's like, is a No Doubt kick cover band. And it was the first time we saw chicks. And you know, granted they're Chinese, nothing wrong with Asian chicks, but granted they're Chinese chicks. It wasn't
there's
like
nothing wrong
tourist
with
chicks.
Asian
I'm like,
chicks.
But they look like they, France, yeah, brown slaves Asian. But they look like I meant like they didn't look like locals. They look like tourists, or they look like most of the people having a good time. And by the way, this is communist China, especially communist China, 2002. This rap memory I'm referencing, and I remember like. And like you were out dancing on the floor, and I'm talking to myself, I'm like, hey, this is actually chicks, this is awesome. And my instructor was like giving me like the cut like the neck,
audio, so I'm trying to,
yeah, like doing the cutthroat, like cut it out,
like nah dog,
yeah, nah dog, yeah. And apparently, so I was like, these are all hookers, and I was like, what? And I remember it was so depressing because this is like, I'm in high school, I'm ignorant, like, I don't understand that like communist country means like. Like, I didn't understand, like, girls don't get to go out, like, on their days off and have a good time.
Like, not only like that, but you have a girl that's, like, all over you, and you're like, oh, my God, Boner City.
Well, sadly, you didn't, yeah.
Sadly, you didn't get a boner?
Well,
is that a place in China, Boner City?
it went to Boner City to Sad City, sooner than Instructor City. But the point of that story is that these girls, they don't have the social lives that we don't think. So, even if they don't, like, they're not in the nightlife, we'll just say politely, if they're more in the wushu life, kind of rounding back to the fights here, guys. It's still sad though, is because like, you know what I'm saying, like they came up in that life, they didn't have anything to like, they're forced to do that shit. Like
yeah.
Jackie Chan, even like the fucking 0.1% Jackie Chan's or the Jet Li's, like which are both from Chinese opera schools, like it's great and they're that 1%, right? But if you track back their life, they weren't guaranteed that. They had to grow up in the Chinese opera house and the wushu houses, which is rounding back to the wushu conversation. And it's real low percentages, you know, in that country. You survive, you're not supposed to stand out. So it's real tough living, even if you're like doing something like martial arts, which is not, you know, selling your body in that sense.
Yeah, she's what, like 18 and over?
Yeah, sorry, I'm really getting deep down here. But yeah, she, you know, these girls, they come through. I'm just trying to, I guess, just say is that, it's a different program there, right? They're really bred with it. So
yeah, when you're good, you're good.
So again, not hating on the female division, rounding things back. But when you hear things like, you go back to these stories, like the typical trope for the female stories, right? The American girls, I wanted to lose weight after pregnancy. I started a cardio kickboxing class. Next thing I know, this is my first pro fight. And that's, I'm not making Holly fun of it. That's so legit. Yeah, Holly that's like world champions have that story. Like, that's a legit story.
Oh, I just thought it'd be cool to do some kickboxing.
Right. So I didn't mean to get too deep and dark on you on the Chinese culture, but it's a purpose. It's a major contrast, guys. It's a huge contrast as far as culture.
When Dan says he doesn't mean to take you down somewhere, he's totally going to take you down that way.
We're going down. Anyways, all right. We got next Perez versus Torres. I did pretty good at the pace. I actually got this one right. Yeah, but this was a close one, man. Because I even said Torres was a live dog here. I didn't blame anybody for playing him, but I just felt like it was a bad matchup because of where Perez was strong, being the wrestling grappler. And you know, if you watch his striking and improvements there, and boy, did his striking look John Lineker-esque. What did you
compare it to? I'm not trying to be a dick. What? But Torres looked really bad in his last fight. And he only
this
won
fight?
His last fight.
Wait, last fight.
Torres last fight or this fight?
Yeah, Torres.
Brooks. Yeah, Brooks.
He looked garbage. I'm not trying to be rude.
No, yeah.
He looked god awful. He did not look like he deserved to be in the UFC. He was being outclassed by his opponent, and then his opponent knocked himself out with suplex. So when I came into this fight, I'm going to be completely honest. I had zero hype on Torres.
Right.
Absolutely zero hype. So because these are the only impressions I've had of him. So I've heard he's great, but I saw that happen, and then I saw him get KO'd, in this fight, and it honestly, that was like TJ Dillashaw, Henan Barão 2, but like a heavyweight doing it.
Well, I think DC gave a great commentary of this fight, and he really nailed it, because like even Torres admitted that it was a bad performance, and Torres himself admitted that he's a slow starter, and how do you come out of a slow starter? You come out of fast, like Perez did.
But that was three rounds of wrestle fucking.
But the fight before it, was it two or three? Regardless, it wasn't a good look, and I was tempered. I wasn't as hyped as other people are when Torres, when looking back at him, but the reason why I was impressed was because watching how he fought and watching how he did give up early ground and was able to come back, and that impressed me. The fact that he was able to have these accolades and have this crazy streak with that kind of a style and looking bad even in victories, right?
Totally.
Because if you go back and watch his early fights and the fights where he came out on top and stuff, like you'll even see like he admits this. He gets off to slow starts.
Yeah. And there's no disrespect, obviously.
No, yeah, obviously it's no. Just so that impressed me.
He's going to beat your ass,
like,
Brian.
So that
he could absolutely, without literally sure. blindfolded, could beat my ass.
So that impressed me, but yeah, I wasn't feeling like the same height, so I was kind of tempering that. I did take him against Jared Brooks, I believe. Though, again, I mean, obviously I wasn't feeling confident in watching that fight play out live. And then I took Perez here, and boy, Perez turned a corner. God, and man, I think you know what? I don't think we should be shitting on Torres. I think it's gonna teach Torres a lesson.
Sure, and I'm not even trying to shit on him. I'm just being brutally honest.
No, I think it's gonna teach him a lesson. And Perez looked great. I hope he really steps on it for what you know when Shorty wants to, because you know his background, you know. With coaching, with a lot of these guys, okay, like that Aaron Adrian Simpson's guy that comes to mind. Like, okay, you're going to be a coach, you're a wrestling coach, an MMA coach, and a fighter. Like, which one, what's your role really going to be, right? You always kind of question that. And I think this, I got to imagine, motivated Perez to push forward. All right, let's push forward, though. Matt Sales or Shane Moraes. I don't got too much to say about this. I wasn't watching too much. I think,
same.
Did you come around this one or no?
I think after I like came one. In like third round. That sounds awful, but... I didn't watch this. I heard a lot of boos. I don't really know why, but
I think Shaman came in the second with the energy that he was showing. And there, you know what I'm saying? Refractory Mirais. Come on, Shaman. Sorry. Shaman was out.
So we can skip that fight because we didn't watch that fight.
All right, let's leave you with the sexual thing there. All right, Ricardo Ramos versus
Kong. We were talking about Kong's chin, man. Dude. That dude. Man, he could take a real dong. I mean, he can take a
dong
real punch.
A real dong is what I heard there.
By the way, I was giving an accolade as a non as mixed with multiple Asians, but not Korean. I was saying Koreans maybe tough as Asians, you know.
Yes, true.
By the way,
I have to agree.
By the way, I won't get into like the really racist Asian stuff, but I will say amongst the racist Asian stereotypes that we compare the Koreans.
Where's Joe Suzuki?
I know Joe will fucking take the flag. run. God. He will run across the, any border we fear.
There's no boundary he would not cross.
There is not. Yes. There is not. But we classify the Koreans as like the Marines because they're the first on like on foreign soil. You know what I'm saying? Like they're opening like fucking shops in the south.
They've got incredible.
Hey, there's Samsung everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Think
yeah.
of all the Koreans. They're like tall, dark, handsome Asian men.
What's that guy that done?
Dong Young Kim.
No, the guy
there's like five of those, right? In the UFC.
I should know this before I get shit on somebody for mixing my boxing references for some, you know, some snarky fuck probably gets at me for it. But the Korean guy that died of the Joy Diaz references, the Dooku Kim, that died of the. Again, it's like my theory with BJ Penn is that the guys with the great chins, they don't have great chins. Those guys actually get it the worst in the end. And this Korean boxer guy, he has such a good chin. He took so much. Fucking damage that he was
fucking
like,
damage.
Yeah, he died. He died because of ones. I'm sorry. I know who it is, folks. You guys are probably screaming at the microphone.
And but it was literally headshots.
It was a Korean guy. Yeah, and he did. It was after the fight. But again, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, he's so tough. He's taking all these shots. You're like, we shouldn't applaud that. Like, those are the guys that are taking the worst.
No, the longer I watch MMA, every time I see like fights not ending when they should end, I like cringe for a really long time. It's like on border of like I'm either cringing and silent or screaming at the TV to stop the fight.
Yeah. No, it's bad. It wasn't that bad for this one though. No. It was definitely a commendable chin by Kang. But I had Ramos here and. You know, it was tight at times, but it just looked like one of those learning performances where he didn't have to learn from the loss. And I got to go back and watch that. I didn't watch it, admittedly.
Does he clearly. Train with the Korean zombie?
Ramos?
Yeah.
Or no, oh, no, the no. Korean guy?
The Korean Kong?
I don't know. I should know this. That's bad, but he did do the military leave. He was recently off.
Yeah, because I just remember watching some footage recently of the Korean zombie training with another guy.
I want to say he's a team mad guy.
I'm not really sure.
Shout out Alan Cho, Team Mad.
What?
Damn, this guy. Alan Cho.
All right. We got Ricky Simon next versus Montel Jackson.
It's Simone, how dare you?
Simone. It's Ricky Simone. Hey,
it's Ricky Simone.
I didn't pick Ricky Simon. I picked Ricky Simone.
There you go. Get it right.
Actually, I picked the Hawaiian Simone.
He did really good, man.
But yeah, yeah.
It was a good fight.
He closes the dog, too, plus 100, yeah, which wild. I don't think he opened that way. But
he was eating a solid couple of punches, and I saw him recover well and bring it to the guy.
Yep. And again, I gave Montel Jackson a great grade in my Dana White's grade in the Contender Series. But again, these guys aren't that proven, man.
Oh, Jackson was from the Contender
Series. Yeah, and he wasn't a first-round guy, but it's like Dana's just picking these guys that, like, he's picking the most raw guys who have like less ring time. I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
They're using him as filler.
He's like, I thought about it. He's like, you know what? We're going to take the one guy with 20 fights who actually came back from adversity. That should have been your first fucking pick. The most experienced guy. Jesus Christ.
They're learning something from Strikeforce. Mismatches make great pay-per-views.
Yeah, and I love Contender Series, by the way. I love covering it. I'm just saying like the picks as far as it goes.
No, the Contender Series is great.
And that's
it's
why
still mismatches.
Yeah, and that's why if you notice that even though I'm big on the Contender Series, I didn't side with any of the guys, and I think I want to say I think against these guys will be back, but I was right in fading those guys because I think a lot of them are getting pushed, and I say this in my articles, they're getting pushed to it too soon. Something to watch for. Munoz Johns, all right, last fight of the prelims.
That was such a good fight. Dude. That might be fight of the night. We don't even know who won it, but that might be fight of the night.
I feel for his knee.
Oh,
did you watch that?
Yeah, he watched it. That was the first fight.
Tell me what you guys think of that. I'm gonna look up
that. That dude is tough as hell.
What would you say? He's from the fucking the movie Snatch.
No, he basically is. Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. But
yeah,
he's basically his knee fucking wrecked.
You like digs?
You like digs? I like digs. He likes digs. The other guy liked his fucking knee though.
He fights like a
fucking rough to watch.
Dude, look, any man who's dropped by a leg kick. That's not him choosing to fall.
No.
That is just his body saying, go fuck yourself. Shouldn't be standing
here. Sit the fuck down.
Yeah. Have a seat. So that was tough. We were even saying, you remember, I think it was like the beginning or the end of, it was either the end of the first or the beginning of the second. I looked at Dan and was like, if Johns finishes this is fight of the night.
Yeah.
But it still could have been fight of the night.
It should have been.
But it wasn't.
You guys want to know who got it?
Sure.
Okay.
Maybe they don't want to know, though.
No, we'll let them know, and we're not going to tease because, you know what, I don't feel like editing. I don't know if I'll be Dan Tom's gonna be in the condition to edit.
Up for the test.
So Dan Tom's not editing.
We gotta push this podcast, guys. So I'm gonna push through.
Yeah, push through, dude. Just like your doctors did to you.
Moicano. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Push through.
Fucking fast flashbacks. Moicano and TJ Dillashaw are in the performance of the night, but it was Henry Cejudo and Demetrius Johnson for the fight of the night. I can't say that was a robbery. I mean, considering what happened, and it was a back and forth fight. It was a great fight. I'm not even like upset with that at all. But god damn, just, you know, Dan Tom is a big fan of guys just getting fucking beat down and just still fighting whether they win or lose. Like that Jack Hermanson, that's gonna be one of my fights of the year. Like Dan Tom's fights of the year, just because it's a guy fucking who
it's a guy fucking.
He's fucking. And he has a rib cracked or some kind of injury, like, and it just comes back. Johnson did come back, unfortunately, but just the fact that he got his, you know, his leg crippled, body smashed, and then almost knocked out, like, all in the same round, and then just came back and scrapped. God damn, I'm sorry, I like seeing guys like that. What do you guys think of those bonuses? Agree, disagree, what?
Just mm-hmm. It's hard to say.
So, Dillashaw performance, Moicano performance for choking out Cub in the first round, and then the fight of the night up there.
So honestly, the performance for me is
they gave Dillashaw and Garbrandt. Sorry, I got a text from Fez. They gave Garbrandt Dillashaw fight of the night?
No, just Dillashaw performance.
Who got fight of the night?
Co-main event. Mighty Mouse for Cejudo.
I can see that. It was a split decision win. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know,
Moicano, man, we even said going in, like, we love Cub Swanson. Oh, we can't go there yet.
Yeah.
I guess you did.
We'll get there. I'll just say this. We'll get to these fights. We're going to jump to the main card right here, guys.
Yeah,
but
let's do it.
I will just say this, that I just got to get butt hurt. One of the top guys, the top money earners get the bonus. I'm a fan of the underdog. I like seeing the guys that are getting paid shit get this
life-changing bonuses. That's life-changing. Look at Khalil Roundtree, man. Think about that, dude. Think of Khalil Roundtree. So, got an extra 50.
You got a hard on for Khalil Roundtree, though.
Yeah, that's our boy, dude. We grew up with that dude.
Ryan, put your pants back on. All right, we got the main. first fight. All right, Thiago Santos versus Kevin Hall. And let me just say, I had Santos, but personally, this one kind of failed me because I had the, oh man, I was pulling my hair out. I had as a leg because it was chalked up to shit. I had fight did not go the distance of the leg, and it cost me a good chunk.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And this fight was nothing but almost getting finished from start to finish. So.
Yeah, well, we talked about it to begin. We said, you know, Santos is a monster, but he's either hammer or nail.
Yep.
And when he's the nail, he's not good. Once I saw him get hurt, I said, oh, no, this is the end, because he's not good at recovering. You see those guys. Like, some guys, they get rocked and they can recover, like Frankie Edgar. Yeah. That dude's been rocked and dropped a million times, but he can recover well. But then you see guys who get clipped once in the whole rest of the fight. They either get destroyed or it's finished quickly thereafter. And Santos is definitely one of those guys. So it was up in the air the whole time, really. And it kind of ended up being that kind of fight. 3 rounds, very close decision.
Like, as a casual, looking at this fight, it just looked the sloppiest out of the whole
Yeah, it was.
Just flopping around, flipping around. I was scared for Holland the whole time. Santos was a beast. He had the hammer tattooed on his chest. He's just like, waiting to drop it on him. It was scary.
It's like, me hammer, you nail. He almost pulled the hammer out.
Yeah, it was like Ngannou looking at you say,
you go to sleep.
Yeah. It's still the scariest thing. I mean, even though he looks soft as fuck right now, but regardless.
We're equating these fights
this is quality encounters. Content.
This is very. All right, let's go to. Oh, Jesus.
Wait, this is behind the paywall, right?
Yes, it is. No. All right, let's go to Pollyanna Viana versus JJ Aldrich.
Oh, I remember Bronson continuously saying,
I love
that Brazilian is gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
No, she's good looking.
Dude, she could beat him up any day.
Did you show her Instagram?
And I would let her.
No. Brian, I was too busy looking up Rachel Ostrovich.
Jesus.
Instagram, because that girl's the most beautiful woman you've ever met.
But the Brazilian, the hottie, unfortunately not the victor.
All right.
She got fucked up, dude. She ate some solid punches by Golem. I mean, J.J. Aldrich.
What'd you say?
Don't say anything. Call her J.J. Aldrich.
Yeah.
Jesus. I thought she looked like for the Poison Ivy from Gotham, which I don't think is me, but yeah, people seem to agree with. I'm just going to. Sorry, I'm talking.
But not based on, you know.
Yeah, this is
beauty or whatnot. She was definitely a sticking her, you know. But the Brazilian could take the punch. It was just hard for me to watch her do it.
Yeah, I'm showing Bronson her Instagram right now. Because Bronson
I'm a fan. I'm a fan, and I'm going to be a new follower. So, you know, shout out Brazil. Shout out to this girl. Yes.
All
right. I don't blame you for being a fan of there, but Dan Tom's not indiscriminate, and I'm also a fan of the Nerdy Chicks, too. So, Dan Tom enjoyed this fed up. I said, no, jeez, why are we really subjecting these females? They are great martial artists. It was a good fight. Definitely, I'll just showed why she was live. I agree with the scorecard.
Yes.
And, yeah, I didn't feel comfortable with my pick.
Yes, never saw her before.
See, that's racial Osovich, dude. This tops everything you could ever see. Dan, you're biased.
I am. Everybody on the pilot listening to this is a big Rachel Osage fan,
too. She is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen get punched in the face, okay? I can say that.
I have seen people talk highly about her on Twitter. Maybe because I'm a fellow Hawaiian and, like, talking about a beautiful woman's a beautiful woman, but if...
Hey, Chihi, brother.
Let's just say, like, if you're Asian Pacific Islander, you have a higher percentage of looking relative, and obviously that's not gonna do it for me. I'm sorry. So, yeah. So, maybe that's where Ostovich falls for me.
It's fine with me, dude. It's all you, brother. Yeah, thank you.
But, great fight. Fun to watch.
Thank you, because I could totally get that any day of the week. Just kidding, because that will never happen. But we'll cheers to the thought, right?
Alright.
To the thought?
To the... Not T-O-T-H-O-T like you're thinking.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Do
we have any tactical thoughts on this play?
Tactical thoughts?
T-H-O-T. Oh, whatever. Oh, Jesus Christ.
No. Rose Namajunas is not fighting on this card, Dan Tom.
All right. Comes to us in an out of my card. Let's get out of the left and out. There we go. There.
I love Cubs.
Why don't you wax about Cubs? You know what? Because again, Dan Tom really wants to stick to not taking a break, but Dan Tom also has a really crazy platter. So Dan,
so go to pee. So Brad's gonna take over right now.
Tell me what
so this is a conversation Dan Tom and I had before this fight, and it was, man, we really love Cub Swanson, but Moicano's gonna fuck him up, and that's the worst part because we love Cub Swanson. We know he's capable of, but we know Moicano is a beast, and he just came in there and did what he needed to do. I screamed, was that a jab? As loud as I possibly could when he dropped Cub Swanson with a jab. I couldn't believe it.
That was a dirty-ass jab, too.
I mean, look, Cub Swanson, I honestly can say I don't think he's ever been dropped like that in any of his fights, let alone by a fucking jab. So it really puts a lot of weight on how beast Moicano really is. So for him to get a finish is really great, too, because it's been a while. I know he's had a couple decision wins in his last couple fights. And to be honest, he's only lost to Brian Ortega, who's clearly the number one contender. And if Max Holloway's out of that talk, then he's the champion. So that dude's going to be around for a long time to come.
Is that the boys
in? Yeah, you should probably let the boys in.
I also think that jab surprised Cub as much as it surprised everyone else.
But the thing is, that was beyond a surprise, though. Wow. When a guy gets surprised by a jab, he more like stumbles. Like, he went straight to his ass, and the first thing that caught him was his elbow. So he wasn't completely knocked out, but he got dropped.
Yeah.
And he wasn't looking bad before that, you
know? No, and he didn't look bad after, you know? I mean, he got finished quickly after. But as far as, like, being dramatically hurt, like, he wasn't hurt a lot after the jab, but the jab dropped him straight to his ass.
Right.
Which was, like, incredible. Because, like I said, I can't think of a moment outside of the Jose Aldo double flying knee where he's gotten hit and just hit the floor.
Were you surprised that I told you Moicano never knocked anybody out?
Yeah, you did, yeah, and it was a fucking jab.
Yeah.
That's really the most impressive thing. I mean, any guy, you think like when Donald Cerrone jabbed freaking spinning wheel kick master, what's his freaking name? Brazilian guy that killed Terry Edom. I can think of the guy that died.
Edson Barbosa,
I can think of the guy he killed. I can't think of his name.
Jesus. Edson Barbosa.
Basically, Jesus fucking Christ.
You know what happened to him after that, right?
Yeah, I do. That's why I said he basically killed him. That shit is awful. Jesus, I know. If anyone doesn't know. No, we have to now. If anybody doesn't know about Terry Edom, you should Google his name. You know, and it's really awful.
He's better, though. He's been in a corner since then.
That's great. And look, it's all about positive vibes here. But the truth of the truth is that when people say that MMA does not cause brain damage, this is going to be the first thing I bring up.
Look at
that. The guy gets... Oh, that's true, too. But bring this to the discussion. The guy gets spinning wheel kicked to death, brought back to life by who fucking knows what kind of magic. And then he goes on the most depressing moment of his life and starts running in front of buses.
Hey, speaking of which, I gotta go grab my my beer. My
Jesus Christ.
My homeless beer.
Oh, no.
You can say,
why did it go there? Terry Adams not homeless?
I'm gonna grab that name. I'm gonna grab the name.
All respect to Terry Adams and his family and everybody. Just got really out of hand. We like Terry Adams. He's a great MMA fighter. God. We do like Terry Adams, and we do like Edson Barbosa, and we do feel terrible about what happened to Terry Adams.
Jesus, this is not a fucking mortuary,
but it sounds like it, but goddamn.
Well, let's lighten the mood up with somebody who fucking took the piss out of me, and I appreciate him taking the piss out of me. It was quite funny. I was posting another nostalgic beer choice, and I'm not the greatest beer, apparently, and I was informed of this, so please actually add to this opinion, even if it's making fun of me. I don't care. It's fine.
Light him up.
I got some Cronenberg 1664. It's not the best beer. I'm more of an IPA guy. This is some type of light bullshit, but I drank it. It's nostalgic. I first had it in Scotland in like 2009, and it just I started drinking it whenever I saw it in Europe and became like a nostalgic taste, and I haven't had it in fucking years, so I was like, hey, let's go nostalgic taste tonight. So I post a picture of it. Right, Brian? And What does someone say? It's fucking homeless beer.
Yeah, you better at this dude.
Yeah, that was hilarious. That was awesome. Actually, I want to shout this guy out, actually, because I appreciate it. It was hilarious. I went to his profile, and I think he's French, so I'm like, oh, this guy probably
So he knows. Yeah. He sees bums drinking this shit all day. This
dude fucking probably fucking knows.
Or he could be homeless, and he's drinking it himself.
Yeah, he's tweeting from his homeless phone.
Exactly. Do they have an equivalent French Obama phone?
George Bull.
He's not homeless, but he's phoneless.
George Bull at RHAYDDE. So yeah, he's like, this is luck. Homeless.
But my favorite part of that whole thing is that Dan Tom tried to get me to drink a Cronenberg early on in the night. He's like, hey, you know, check out these. Their beers, they're lighter than that. And I didn't. And then I lurked his Twitter and I saw the homeless beer talk. And the first thing I did was grab a Cronenberg.
Yeah,
I want to know what the bums of France drink.
Now we all have Cronenbergs in
the
hand.
It reminds me a lot of Bud Light, so it makes sense.
It's a kind of a mix between Heineken and Bud Light.
Yeah.
You know, the original Bud Light was Budva, and it was, Czech? I think it was
Czech. I hate it more now.
And then they came to the United States, and they were like, we're going to pump this full of a bajillion things that don't need to go in beer.
It's a Budweiser. All
right. Man, but the horses, right?
Your horses are getting warm. All right, real quick, let me just give a quick shout-outs before we finish up this card real quick. Let me see, while we're doing that. At Big Marley 3, Kyle Marley, one of the best fantasy players out there.
Can you read that?
How can you read that?
Scott is fan. No, I know. They're making fun of my fucking chicken scratch right now. I'm inebriated, and I'm reading chicken trash people. But I remember Big Marley, so shout out to Big Marley.
Shout out.
He's been working hard on his grind and hustle, and I can respect that hustle of somebody who has done similar hustle. So much respect to my man there. And, of course, at Coach Tom, at P.O. Yeah, I can't read my writing. I'm sorry. I've given him
P-O-P-P-P.
Yeah.
Shout out big at you.
The good thing is I've given him like proper shout outs on the podcast. It's actually Tom Kafenick at PL Coach K.
PL Coach K.
Also at Sideways Smith. I can't read that. But,
how do you operate? No one could read that.
Oh, he said, he credited me for winning bet. He credited me for betting TJ, so I won him some money.
TJ smashes Cruz, is that the guy?
No, TJ, no, not that guy.
Oh, I jumped ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm going to get to him next, because that's who I thought it was, too. This guy is Dorchester Matt at D-O-T-R-A-T-R-A-T-T. Dorchester, as my old roommate Billy said, a wonderful place to raise your children. Dorchester.
Dorchester.
It's fucking awesome, bro. I actually had a friend that was legit from fucking
Dorchester.
Southie. But, and then, of course, Dorchester did not look very nice in the movie Gone Baby Gone, so I guess what I see my old roommate from Boston was saying about Dorchester, they're not looking that great there. Maybe not great, you know. It's a little bit, like Keith Peterson, no nonsense over there in Dorchester. All right. And then, so shout out, he said, as Brian said, TJ smashes Cruz. What do you guys think of that? Does TJ smash Cruz?
In a rematch?
Is he the best? They're the two up for the argument for the best. TJ did lose a split decision to Dominick Cruz in their fight. It was closely contested, but it's tough.
After Garbrandt rocked Cruz, I think it's possible for Dillashaw to beat him. Yeah. I think a lot of it was that Dillashaw had never faced him. And a lot of it was like the idea of him facing the guy.
The unknown.
Yeah.
Because really, you remember, TJ Dillashaw came into the camp of Alpha Male to be the guy who tried to fight like Dominick Cruz. He was a sparring partner that was meant to emulate the style of Dominick Cruz. And then he became Dominick Cruz and a better version of that.
He definitely became his own version, I think.
100% became his own version, but it started from that. Like, no one's denying that he's nowhere near Dominick Cruz's style, but he was meant to come in there as an unorthodox fighter to give the guys a taste that they'd never seen before, and it benefited him and only him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I took Cruz the first time and he won the first time, but I would take Dillashaw the second time, guys. Look at him. I think I'd take it the second.
He just stopped the definite number one contender in that division.
That being said, as of right now, until he beats Cruz, I still have Cruz as the best man to win. Again, that kind of maybe retracts to my sensibilities. I like when guys can overcome adversity, and the fact that Cruz overcame knee surgeries that guys in any other sport didn't overcome.
That's a powerful moment.
And then he took it back and beat Cruz and beat Dillashaw of all people for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So for me, he still holds scoreboard as the best ever. So I wonder. Did those guys really think? Did the commentary really think that? Because they're homies with Cruz. Like, you think if anything, they'd be homering the other way. So if you want to put your tinfoil hat on, you think Dana in their ear, or do they really think that?
DC said it right. He said, if you have this many records in the division and you are the current champion, there shouldn't be a lot of discussion as to who's better than you.
All right.
And he didn't say those words, but that's what the point was. And I'm a fan of Cruz and Dillashaw, but it just comes down to that. It's like, he's got the most wins. Now he at 12 wins in the bantamweight division. Mm-hmm. He has 6 finishes, actually now 7 finishes in the bantamweight division. So it's something that's really seriously impressive, because Cruz wasn't finishing guys.
Right.
Cruz was just getting guys in decisions. So he wasn't absolutely just destroying these guys.
Murdering guys.
It was just, it's one of those things like with GSP. With GSP, we didn't appreciate GSP in his prime. We fucking hated on GSP just because he wasn't finishing fights, and that's what we wanted to see, you know? So when you see it in retrospect, we respect the hell out of GSP. GSP, in my eyes, is probably one of the GOATs, and the fact that he isn't considered the GOAT is arguable on many levels. So it's that for TJ. He's coming into this, and he beat the guy that was the GSP of the division.
Yeah.
But in... You know, he has to beat that guy, I guess, technically. He hasn't. It was a close decision. He fought him. But the end game would, for him to cement that, would to be to beat that guy.
I like that you said that. I think that's the positive GSP comparison is TJ, whereas, again, I'm sorry, guys, we're going to backtrack.
Before, I really meant my comparison was to...
I'm sorry. Well,
to Dominick Cruz, but I'm a little bit drunk.
But so I like that you brought up GSP, because I want
to shout out to the Cronenberg 1664
homeless beer, baby.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about the main event, and it feels like we skipped the co-main. So I'm rounding back to the co-main event, but kind of keeping on the thing about GSP is, I like that you the analogy of GSP to TJ in the positive way, but the analogy to GSP in the negative way, which I was kind of using as an analogy to Stipe in the negative way, was let's retract to the co-main event. TJ Dillashaw, Demetrius Johnson, lost his flyweight title, and he was, of course, the record holder.
Yeah, how many fights in a row?
11.
11. He was going to be 12 with this one if he would be successful. He already achieved the record, but he chose to not do super fights. He could have essentially, Bronson fought this guy. It's been brought to the table many times. The contracts almost reported at times to certain cards. Injuries stopped. A bunch of different times this fight almost happened.
A whole bunch of different particulars.
And a lot of the greats in history, a lot of the common thread with the greats we talk about, even the ones we don't talk about, like my man BJ Penn, who doesn't get any love anymore, but which is fine. It's great. I give
it's GSP, not great, but it's fine.
Well, I give GSP the nod. But the point is, is multi-division tasks. And when you go up and you bounce divisions, personally, I'm more impressed with that. But you look at the guys who bounce divisions, their records aren't as great. They lost more, right? Because they took more challenges.
They have more at stake to lose, yes.
Whereas guys like GSP, like Brian referenced, they had this crazy long people criticized them for being boring and decisions and not taking chances. But they defended their titles and set these records. And that's what this guy did here, Demetrius Johnson. So now that he's defeated, it kind of almost feels, in a way, I don't want to say it, I don't...
Like, where do you go from here, or...?
Not anticlimactic, because it shouldn't. He's a great fighter, and nothing changes that. He deserves a rematch, he should get a rematch, and I'm excited to see that rematch. So I don't want to be, like, doom, gloom, or revisionist history, or disrespectful to you. That's not where I'm coming from here. But I guess what I'm saying is that not only did he not do this for his career, but particularly for this camp and this week, in media interviews, they're saying, you know, DJ was projected to win, and TJ was projected to win, so the obvious was like, hey, we keep talking about this damn fight. When are you going to move up? You've defended your title so many times. Mm-hmm. When are you going to challenge
what
yourself?
What gives?
And he was shutting it down. He was sure that he was going to win this fight, but he said, if I win this fight, I don't want to talk about it. I don't care. He just did not want to talk about it, and I think that hurt him, kind of similar to Stipe Miocic. Not wanting to talk, I'm not gonna promote myself through my fighting. That's all fine and dandy, but you have to, like, not come off hyper fucking defensive to your fans and the people who you work for who are interviewing you at a certain point, dude.
Well, the point is this: is that, like, these guys need to understand that they are the only person to rep their brand, because the UFC will only do it for a limited amount of time. Mm-hmm. If you're the greatest in the world, like Demetrius Johnson was,
people will tune
it's,
in.
But no, it's not enough.
Sadly, it's not. It should be. You're right.
Were the greatest of all time at a higher weight class, then yeah, it'll probably speak for itself. But unfortunately for Demetrius Johnson, technique is only appealing to people who love MMA.
Yeah.
So what happened with him was that, yeah, the hardcores thought he was the greatest of all time, but the people who just casually watch it are like, oh yeah, that guy, I've seen him fight before. So it's one of those things where these guys need to really, truly understand that they're the only person to truly back themselves, and they can create so many different brands off of themselves if they just marketed it that way.
And DJ's in defense, he had a unique brand. He was the first guy to have an Xbox, and only guy to have an Xbox sponsorship, which is crazy.
But I think he also has a personality. He just chooses not to use it.
That too, and you can kind of see, like, a shout out to MMA Fighting, they did a good job of doing a timeline. You can see DJ's attitude kind of devolved to where he goes from bright, like, you know, you see it, like, I'm seeing it now even on the show. We interview fighters in the beginning of their career. Thanks for having us on. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for giving me the time, MMA Junkie. And then later, it's, yeah, what? Even after their biggest win of their career, we'll interview big fighters. And they're like, yeah, whatever. You're like, dude, you were just, like, giving everybody shit for picking against you, not giving you credit. We all picked you. We're giving you this fucking time and platform. You give two shits about being on here. It's just kind of how the game is. It's human nature. So it's not like we're taking it personal. But at the same time, you got to kind of state facts as facts. And I like DJ.
Yeah.
This, I'm not a fair weather fan. This loss isn't changing my opinion on that.
Totally.
But my opinion before this fight and this outcome was that, dude, you're not going to go for it. I always, again, I hate beating the BJ Penn well, but the reason why I like fighters like that, because I value guys more who take the chances.
Totally.
That's fine. That's my personal opinion.
But I do respect DJ for saying that he wasn't getting paid the amount of money he needs to get paid.
That is
and
true.
And for being the guy who has broken the all-time record of title defenses, for a guy that has done nothing but show up and win, like, it's frustrating. So I understand that side of it, and I understand that a man deserves his respect as far as what he's worth.
Yeah.
So for him to say, fuck you guys because you're not giving me the amount of money I deserve,
right,
I respect wholeheartedly, but I do believe that he made a mistake, because I don't know the negotiations, and I don't know how far off those negotiations were from what he expected and what the UFC offered him, but I can't imagine that the gap was so large that he destroyed that entire opportunity. Because honestly, imagine how gigantic that fight would have been.
Yeah, I agree. And not only add to that is, again, I like you said, I understand why he's frustrated. Believe me, like, I in no way. But I do, on the other side, like you said, I think he made a mistake, because not just what you said there, but also think of, he already broke the fucking record. He already broke Anderson's record. This fight was a rematch where he had nothing to gain.
Yeah.
He already broke the record. So whether it was more of, I think it was more of an ego thing, because again, like you said, I don't know what the difference was, but he wasn't getting what he wanted. And obviously Dana, we all know, is an ego guy as well.
Totally.
So if two people are going ego at it, we've seen how that goes. It doesn't go well with Dana. If you come at it with the ego, whether you're right or wrong, sad as that is, it doesn't matter. If you come at it the way Dana does, it's not going to end well for anybody. Yeah. Fans, you, or
yeah, them. And the ego got a little inflated with Demetrius. And understandably so, when you're the greatest in any weight class, defending your belt 11 times, I'm sure you can't even control the ego at that point. So, you know, no disrespect in that fact, because I am a fan. But at the same time, it happens to every great guy. Look at Conor McGregor. He came from humble beginnings, and now the dude is a gigantic turd.
And you know,
it's possible for anyone.
And just one more note before we go on this, you don't worry me. I listen to preview stuff. I don't listen to it the day of, sadly. So my shit's already written up. Matt Hume, a guy I respect, and I respect Johnson, I respect their camp. Really smart. But if you listen to him talking about, they're breaking down, like, what does Cejudo offer? And he goes, oh, yeah, he was working over a Dutch guy, so he might have some Dutch stuff, he might do this. He was working with these Muay Thai guys, so he might have this. And then he goes, and he was working with karate guys. And Matt Hume is a real fucking educated dude. And I get the karate stereotype, and especially I get it from an older school guy where, in Matt Hughes' age, the time when I was doing karate, most of those guys were doing bullshit. And I'm a karate guy, and I can admit that.
Yeah, totally.
So I totally get that. But the fact that you're a fucking high-level guy, and that you've already faced a fucking high-level talent in Horiguchi, you saw what, even though you finished him at the last second, that was impressive.
Fight.
It was a hard fight, and you see how fucking good that guy is, and he's just been wiping guys out ever since then. And he's a legit karate guy. Like, it just really blew me away to see that experience, that smart, and that guy, not just experience, but also being forced to be in the new league. He's not like some, and again, all due respect, like a UFC Hall of Fame guy who they bring out of the woodwork. She's fucking, you know, probably half drunk and was like, oh, talking about the old days, right? Like, no, like, he's a corner. He's forced to be up and relative with the new nuances, and he just completely rid off of that style. And again, a lot of it was wrestling and control points at key times, which was, let's close off with our scores for that fight. But it really blew me away, because the distance management is what threw, maybe it wasn't a turning point for this fight, but you look back at that Horiguchi fight, it threw Demetrius off. Granted, Demetrius' game plan may have been to be heavy wrestling going into that fight, but the distance managers, remember, he got hit with some heavy shots in the beginning of that fight. What did Demetrius do to adjust smartly? He goes to wrestle. And it's like, well, what the fuck? Why do you think DJ wasn't adjusting to that according to all the other guys? Because none of the other guys use the karate style to fuck close distance. And most guys use karate style, they don't have crazy knockout power like Horiguchi.
Yeah,
so Horiguchi's a fucking freak.
True.
Maybe Cejudo doesn't have it, but Cejudo does have close to that knockout power, and he's an athletic freak. So he should have deserved your fucking respect.
Totally.
That was a big fucking flag.
Well, it's all ego, man. You know, like I said, like, you know, they did a really good job of keeping that ego in check for a really long time. But when you reach a point in your ego where you cannot foresee a single person in your sight that can defeat you, I can only imagine what that does to it. As a coach, as a fighter, as a team, whatever it may be, there's a point where ego loses itself, man. And that's why it's really crucial to always understand that side of the ego.
Right. No, 100%. Just closing it up, what did you guys score? Bronson, do you remember a score? At least who are you? You don't have to say rounds, but do you remember who you leaned to, anybody? You know, Demetrius Johnson or Henry Cejudo by the end of the fight? Do you remember if you were leaning to anybody, or were you just like, it's a close fight? Because we were all
leaning towards Cejudo.
Okay.
Personally, it was more exciting seeing him throw compared to Johnson.
Okay.
And, you know, at the end, you know, he took it. Took it right away from him.
Same. I mean, big silly Mike Stith kept saying, Cejudo's winning this fight. And I was like, you really think so? And then it was the fourth round, and it was tied 2-2 on all our scorecards. So we were like, okay, yeah, he could win this fight. And the first beginning of the fifth round was really boring. There wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah.
But Cejudo definitely sealed that fifth round. So I was confident in the fact that he won. And if he did win, I wasn't going to be upset. So it's good to see a new flyweight champion, in all honesty. I don't really care for Cejudo. I think his ego, of all people, is a little inflated as well. Like when he hit an interview, I saw him, and he was like, I didn't think DJ could do those things to me. And I was like, well, then you're fucking ignorant. You know, it's like, you have to know there's always some guy out there that's got your number, in my opinion.
Yeah,
no matter what. Yeah, no matter what. yeah, you're the best in the world. And I understand a lot of that is feeding your own confidence, so you can't really admit that someone can beat you. But even after the fact, you can't own the fact that Demetrius was just better than you. You said, I just didn't think you could do those things to me. So, not a big fan of Cejudo overall, but I'm happy to see a new flyweight king.
Yeah, I think it's because of the division. I didn't see the interview personally. I thought, like, maybe I could see what Cejudo, like, would rub people the wrong way for sure. But I thought a lot of that got minimized after that first beating thing that humbled him, you know, by DJ. But yeah, man, I could have gone 48-47 either way. I thought, you know, I think the general consensus I was with, like, I think I had DJ round one, which was close, round three, close, but a little more clear than round one. I had round two for Cejudo, and then round four for Cejudo. Even though you can make the argument for damage, which, you know, I kind of had, but I just know how judges score. So it came down to round five, which I felt Cejudo put enough to impress the judges. So it was one of those things where, if you're asking me, I think that if you were to measure the strikes, which we don't have, but at least maybe the portions of the round and the damage, I will say at least maybe by those metrics, maybe not by the strike metrics, but the portions of time one of the round and the damage done, I would have slightly edged Demetrius Johnson for rounds four and five, or at least one of those rounds to couple with rounds one and three to give him the 48-47. So in other words, I gave it my personal card for damage, but there's fucked up things the judge have us do where we judge it on our cards and then we judge it for what we think the judges are going to judge it
yeah,
for.
It should
and
be
for what the judges are going to judge it for, I was kind of expecting it should have been 48-47 Cejudo, but then there's a reluctancy to score it against the champion. So that's why I said 48-47 either way.
There
was
is
my
always
thing,
that
so.
Like invisible handicap. Yeah.
All right, guys. Sorry to we've been kind of dragging, but hopefully you made it to 18 minutes of poop talk. What am I talking about? First of all, Dillashaw versus Garbrandt, guys. We kind of touched on it before. Cejudo called out the winner. First of all, before we get this fight, do you think Cejudo deserves that? Should it rematch?
No. I don't give a shit about Cejudo fighting him.
Don't give a shit.
You know, yeah, I think it should be a rematch, DJ. I think that's obvious. Yeah. All right, now to this fight. He, you know, Dillashaw doesn't need to fight Garbrandt anymore, at least anytime soon, because he just beat him twice. Got to have a cruise fight to determine who's the best bantamweight. I think they kind of, again, if you want to play your tinfoil hat, if somebody was tinfoilish in their ear to say these things, that maybe these guys factually wouldn't, and also
oh,
personally
Dana
wouldn't.
White. You know Dana White sitting there right now going, Cejudo versus DJ Dillashaw, end of the year card against Brock Lesnar at DC. It's gonna happen.
So many times you go back, why like that Max Holloway when he fought Pettis, when you hear Rogan, like, you almost see Rogan pause in the middle of the post fight.
It's like
pulls his ear.
It's like an extra.
Do you want to fight? Jose Aldo in Brooklyn, like, or the Ronda Rousey or the Ronda Rousey one, like, do you want to fight?
Bad.
I'm sorry they made me ask me. Like, he's even like, it's so, but yeah, you can tell. Like
it's
oh,
so
Jesus
bad.
Christ. And now, you know, Cruz is going to get fucking pissed. There's going to be a booth. Like, fuck, I can't believe my commentating team turned a hand on me. Anyways, it's just a fucking
well,
game.
You know that's going to happen. You can't get invested in that.
That should be it. But Cody, people say Cody, you know, looks stiff. I think they're saying at the end of the commentary there or whatever. What did you guys take? Did you think Cody looked good up until?
I don't know. He got pieced up.
Yeah, he got pieced up.
Yeah.
I think the confidence was an all-time low for him. And I think a lot of it was like overconfidence in the fact that I should have beat him the first time. That one right hand really made him think that he had that fight and that he only lost it due to one combination. But really, he got head kicked, outclassed after TJ got rocked, and then beaten. So it's one of those things where TJ just has way too much to offer for him, and especially an emotional version of him.
Well, you said confidence and ego, and ego before that. That makes sense because they bring up these fights, right? Whenever the guy, the immediate rematch is bad because once, like, the guy has your number, did you take enough time to regroup? The mental pressure, all these things kind of can work against you. But you look at it, Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman, right? Rematch right after. Nope. BJ Penn, Frank Yeager. Nope. Frank Yeager.
Can you name a
Benson
guy
Anderson,
that's done it?
Nope.
Who's the guy that's done it?
Yeah, that's the thing. That was a big.
Who's the guy that's won an immediate rematch and had a fight? It's ruined careers.
I mean, even not immediate rematches. I think even when you just go to rematches, like the DC, John Jones or whatever, when there's space
between
it, even
immediate
those,
rematches.
Those are against you, too. Like, all the metrics are against you, in other words,
so
right?
Because the confidence is
lower.
But does
that also, like, go to show, like, the Rifleman won the fight?
Yeah.
That too, you know, yeah, I mean.
But it also has to do a lot with confidence. And that's a lot in fighting. Yeah. A lot of people play that down, but the reason Conor McGregor is as great as he is because the conference is unbreakable.
And maybe this matchup is a good point of it, because I believe that even that footage that was released of the sparring session before their first fight, TJ won both fights, bouncing before their first fight. They were training partners before this.
Mm-hmm.
And Cody, the guy who lost both fights before their very first fight, he released sparring footage, and the sparring footage was, you got the best of Cody. Now, it wasn't as of what it was cracked out to be, although he cracked him pretty good. Despite that, I believe that he did crack him good. I believe that Cody, that this guy actually got the better of that guy more oftentimes than not. But yeah, when we saw it both times play out, this guy won.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that, you know, shout out to my buddy Kevin Sanders, who we would always spar. And Kevin, we would put on highlights if we were sparring in tournaments for Kenpo Karate, for Point Karate. You put us together, the most boring fucking match you will ever see. We could choreograph, we could compete in open competition sparring, we could do forms, probably more entertaining than most people in the organization. But you put us together, is the most boring match you guys were ever going to fucking see. It was going to be the lowest strike count. It's because we couldn't do anything without knowing what the other guy does. Because when you spar with somebody, you know them, and it throws it off. It almost throws you in like a warp. You're in this warp kind of zone where the normal rules don't apply. And that's what makes these kind of fights so tricky. So, like you said, like we see the training footage, one guy's getting better than the other, but when the fight happens, who gets the better? Mike Pyle guy, me and Brian have followed a lot. Yeah. That was a real big thing. Remember?
Beast.
What was it? Who was the fight against? Matt Brown? Dude, he used to fuck Matt. Mike Pyle used to make Matt Brown his fucking little girl in the fucking Extreme Couture back in the day.
Sure, man.
But what happened when fucking Mike Pyle was on a run, and Grand Matt Brown was on his run then too, and on Fox, and Matt Brown fucking just knocks him out in the right hand right away.
Terrifying, just runs through. I don't care what version of Matt
Brown. He showed up.
Yeah. He's fucking terrifying.
He showed up to game day, and kind of like you said, Brian, I'll let you allude in your feelings on TJ Dillashaw. Whatever feelings you have about him, he's one of those dudes you know fucking shows up to compete.
Oh, 100%. My feelings on TJ Dillashaw is that dude's a cheap motherfucker. You watch that dude in his training footage, and he's just cheap shotting dudes left and right.
Yeah, you show me that stuff. I didn't realize that shit is cheap as fuck.
Jesus Christ. When you hit a dude a solid 2 seconds after the timer in training, like, what kind of low life piece of shit are you? No disrespect to his abilities as a fighter.
Especially guys,
I'll always watch his fights.
Yeah, especially Chinese guys' name is Wu Lu Qi.
Yeah, but you hear those rumors about him ruining Chris Holdsworth's career with an illegal knee. A knee to the back of the head of a downed opponent, and you're like, no, I can't see TJ doing that. And then you watch footage of him cheap shotting a guy whose arms are down, his chin is clear up in the air because he's mad about how bad his performance was, and you hit him in the face. Like, fuck that shit.
Not only
you're the champion,
stuff, but we
you're
saw,
the best bantamweight ever, but go fuck yourself.
We saw Chris Holdsworth comes up. I think you saw some of his early fights too.
Dude, he's a beast.
Enough.
He's undefeated. Wasn't he undefeated?
Yeah, we saw him come up before he even went pro.
Yeah.
And that's just sad.
It's, and look, I understand testosterone and competitiveness, but like, there's a point, man, and it just, there's no point with TJ. And that to me is like, fuck that. The day he loses is going to be a good day, but I'll watch him fight.
It is the dark side of competitiveness. That's why, as much as my fucked up wiring is and why I love this stuff and would do it myself, I wouldn't consider myself a competitive person. Not that you have to be competitive to be like that. That's an extreme end, but I'm just saying, I don't know TJ. I'm not saying these definitive things. Brian speaking on footage that is out there in his defense. But I guess what the bigger thing we're saying is that, as much as we love watching these fighters, you got to break some omelets to make some eggs. And, you know, same with the, you know, John Jones is maybe another extreme example.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah, well, again, you know, you want to see great fighters. Yeah, they might not have all the great personality traits. I'm not defending TJ by saying that, by the way, or anybody by saying that, but I'm just saying. It's just the facts, right? That's
and
a
I
fact.
Won't deny it. Like watching
it's
him
a
fight.
Fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Like,
no.
I love to observe violence.
Oh, yeah.
But
I picked
in
TJ
a respectful
to win.
Way.
I picked TJ to win. I picked John to win in his last fucking how many fights? Like, it's not interfering in any of that. Believe me. But yeah, it's just, we're just being real here. But yeah, it was a great fight. Anything to add to that, guys? As far as this fight goes.
Nope.
All right.
That's it.
Went 10-2 for picks. It was pretty good again. Apologies, guys. It was again crazy. We're gonna be reformatting the next. So there'll be less actually written content. I guess that's safe to say. More breakdowns as far as the podcast goes. More podcasts in general. So that is a big thing of this. The next top 10 actually, or top 5. will be, I'll cheat it here. Top five Ultimate Wars. I'm actually having my buddy Jordan Killian back on for that one. We're going to be probably doing that next week, I believe. Yes, next week. Top five Ultimate Wars. I'll do an official post if you guys want to add yours in. And I'll be planning the next one after that. I won't say who the guest is now, but I definitely have been in talks with a couple people, so it'll definitely be some familiar faces and awesome guests for you, so don't worry about that. Real quick, MixedMartialAnalyst.com, again, iTunes, 5-star ratings and reviews for Protecting Nick Podcast, but MixedMartialAnalyst.com with Protecting Nick Podcast is hosted. We have click-throughs there for Onnit and Amazon. Either you guys use Onnit or Amazon, Bronson or Brian? You guys use Onnit or Amazon?
Facebook. Well, not really Onnit nowadays that I've got the dad bod.
Oh, Jesus.
Now that I'm 90% cheeseburger, I just stick to Amazon.
Yeah. Bronson?
I'm on Amazon.
You should check out Onnit's stuff. We got a couple things. I'll admit a couple of these things are me. Alpha Brain, which may be me, or maybe that was the last one. Was me. This could be a new one, actually. But New Mood, not me, but I will say I still have some New Mood from the last one. They are really good. New Mood, some of the more feelable stuff. Hemp Force, that stuff's always good. You guys use the Hemp Force protein at all?
I have. I didn't really care for the taste.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. A lot of people use the whey. Usually I see the whey pop up. Somebody, I usually have at least, I know one consistent person usually buys the whey through here. And, read my writing here. God damn it. Trombone. Okay, Onnit does
but trombone.
If you bought something with Onnit that starts with a T, thank you for clicking. T plus. Yeah, there it is. Hilarious. T plus.
Yeah. T plus. AKA trombone. Onnit.com. Yes. Send us the web code.
Because Danton can't write. Simple as that. That's the reason.
Yeah. If you bought a trampoline.
All right, from Amazon, Brian, you use Amazon a lot. You've been using Dan Tom's click through every time you use Amazon.
No, you got to send me that link, shop all the time on Amazon. I'm probably Amazon's number one customer. Just kidding.
Easy as this. All you do is you go to mixedmartialanalyst.com and you can actually bookmark that page. Any of the page, whether you're on the subpages for the breakdown or the homepage, they all have a link on the side for Onnit or Amazon. You just click through that for your order. It doesn't cost you a penny. It just kicks back a small percentage to the podcast you listen to, one of the podcasts you listen to, that is. Costs you nothing. So you make an order for X amount of money. You just kick a little bit for me for free. Just throwing that out there.
Click the link.
Just kick a little bit.
So, for example, someone bought the South Park PS4 game. Now, I thought this was for the N64. Danton is so old that I bought these. I remember that game, right?
Personally, yes.
The turkeys?
The turkey gun. Yeah. You would have the cow gun. You would shoot out the cow ass.
Cow gun, yes.
Yes, first-person shooter back on...
What the fuck was that, Brian? Jesus Christ.
Dude, we have sound effects here.
We have sound effects, apparently. Well, somebody bought the PS4 version, so thank you, whoever bought that.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding with this one, guys. I'm Magnum XL condoms, 12-pack. Whoever is buying that, congratulations.
Oh, whoops, I dropped my Magnum condom. It's my monster condom from my Magnum dong.
Congratulations, first off, I guess, right? This is before I say thank you, is that congratulations? But yeah, thank you for thinking of the Protecting Egg podcast when you think of strapping up your big dong.
Your big dong.
So, whoever bought the... I'm not even kidding. Whoever bought the Magnum XL Trojan 12-pack. Thank you very much. Not Magnum, but NM, I'm just reading the list here. Mad Max on Blu-ray. One of my favorite movies. This wasn't me because I already own it. Mad Max on Blu-ray. One of my favorite movies. What year was that? Was that 2016?
I would say 16, with Tom Hardy and the babe Charlize Theron.
Maybe 2015, but yeah, something like that. Yeah,
she's got some great boobs, dude.
It was great. The opening where it just starts off like Roadrunner Coyote kind of a thing. Their own little montage. And it's just fucking so powerful. God damn that the original director. God damn it, my Tom Hardy. Sorry, I love Mad Max.
Dan's having a seizure, guys. Are you okay?
God, I love Mad Max. All the original and everything. what else? The Departed. don't know why I'm getting excited for that.
Are you a cop? Are you a cop?
I love that movie. It's so
good. Cranberry juice. What do you need? Period.
When Mark Wahlberg walks in the room with his fucking slip of boots on, he's just like, "Look at these."
I'm a big shiny star.
Wait, that's Boogie Nights.
Ask your mother. She's tired from fucking my father.
There's some good character actors there too. The dude, fucking plays a drug dealer. The drug runs with, you know. All right, we got The Last Jedi. Is that the Star Wars movie, guys?
Sure is.
I still gotta watch
There's
that
no
one.
There's no other Jedis but Star Wars Jedis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard.
Sicario 2. I haven't even fucking seen Sicario 1. Have you guys seen any of the Sicarios?
Saw both. Loved both. Just don't go to Mexico, it seems.
Okay. Brian, you seen Sicario? Any comments to that?
Sicario 1 I have seen. I've been really bad at movies lately. I am notorious for falling asleep, so I just don't watch movies anymore. Unless I plan on falling asleep.
Right. Now, either we have a very ambitious person who's really going above and beyond, I think, of the Pendegrinium podcast, or a female. A GE toaster oven was purchased through the Amazon link, so I just have to add that in my fucking walking over that.
So for all your culinary needs, check out GE.
Yeah, there we go. Alright, we're gonna fucking let you guys go here. This was a fun podcast. Hopefully you made it through the first 18 minutes and then made it through the subsequent rest. It was, hour and 25 minutes, and I'm not even giving these poor fuckers a break. Bronson, I don't want to ask you about social media. Is there social media you want to plug? Because these guys were savages. They may
Bronson Darling at jigglowswithbigwieners.com.
Yep, that's my website, guys. You know, I'm on Instagram, and you can find me there if you want to. If not, fuck you. It's all good.
They have an Amazon click-through, too. Brian, anything for you?
At BR14N.
Alright, Brian is at BR14N. I am at Dan Tom MMA. The podcast is at the PYM Podcast. Thank you for putting up with this recap. I may give more of a detail, maybe some revisions for my poor opinions here. I apologize. I was enjoying, in case you could tell, old Dan Tom was enjoying this one as a fan. I'm finally getting my first break in a whole year. Yeah, 2 weeks off, baby. But even though it's my first break in a whole year, I am still not leaving you empty-handed with the Pateki Neck podcast. We'll be back next week with the top 5 World Heavyweight Awards with Jordan Killian. Until then, protect your bank accounts, protect your butts, or your throats as well if you're getting an endoscopy. And always, protect your neck.